Well, I'd like to greet each one of you to our hymn sing here this evening. Certainly glad to see everybody that came out. As I thought about our hymn sing and why we sing, there's many reasons why we sing. And as Christians, of course, we know the reason why we sing or can have the joy in our hearts. As we think about singing, it's hard to sing when you're upset. Singing has a way of lifting your spirit. And the reason is us as Christians, as we sing, our first song wants to pay a little bit of attention to that. Jesus paying it all, the reason we are able to sing as Christians. And then our second song we will sing will bring out the joy and the love we have for him. And then the other song we will sing will direct our minds a little bit of the benefit of being a Christian, of following Christ, the promise he has for us as far as heaven. Just a little bit of order of our service. I'm going to start off here by singing a few songs, then we'll have an opening devotions by a brother, and then we'll sing a few more songs. A few more leaders will lead. Then we'll have a hymn story. And then, of course, they'll ask for selections periodically, so have your selections ready if anything in particular you would like to hear sung tonight. So let's begin our singing by singing 107 in the Green Book. Number 107. Let's sing 1, 3, and 4.
Save my soul to save. My dear shall still repeat. Jesus, Savior of all, to him I owe. Save my Good evening. I'm going to read a couple verses, just a couple. If you have your Bibles, you can look it up. Revelations 5, verses 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I guess when I read over those verses, I think, you know, tonight we're here for a hymn sing, but, you know, someday when the Lord calls us all home, we'll be meeting up in heaven for another hymn sing, where tonight is just a small example of what it will be like. We'll be amidst some of thousands and thousands of other believers, and we'll have perfect harmony, and we'll be worshiping and singing in the midst of reuniting with family and other believers. All who are able, I'd ask that you kneel for prayer.
I think I'm going to start with 131 here this evening, and then I'll take requests. 131 in the green book. Would you mind standing? This is a song I think we need to sing if you... I'd like if you would. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great might. There is a God.
Oh, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are lower, these have adored my sight. I will hasten to him, patience
Jesus. I was asked to give a short story or a history of a hymn. I wasn't sure where to go with that. There's so many hymns and just the brother and hymnal, and asked God to lead and guide me, direct me there. Well, this past week, I had the privilege of working pretty much right over top of the Thomasville Airport and watching the planes come take off and land almost right above our heads. It made me think of the song, Jesus Saved Your Pilot Me. It wasn't talking about an airplane or a pilot of that kind. It was a pilot of a ship. And Edward Hopper was born on February 17th, 1818, in New York City. On his mother's side, he was descendants of the Huguenots, a group that was persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Edward was a well-educated man. He graduated from New York University, as well as the Union Theological Seminary. Yet he was said to be a very, very humble man. He never signed any of his hymns. In the year of 1870, Edward became the pastor of a church in New York City known as the Church of the Sea and Land. That is where he wrote his hymn for many sailors that would come and to his church right there in the inner harbor of New York. It was also inspired from an account in Matthew 8:23-27, which I'd like to read. And when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? In this song, in the Brethren hymnal, there's three verses. We sing the first, second, and fifth stanza that Edward Hopper wrote. And when I did some research, I found the other two stanzas. I like to read the third stanza and see how closely it relates to this scripture here in Matthew. While the apostles' fragile bark struggled with the billows dark, on the stormy Galilee thou didst walk upon the sea. And when they beheld thy form, safe they guided through the storm. It wasn't until 1880, at the anniversary of a celebration for a Seaman Friend Society, that Edward Hopper was identified as the author of this hymn. He was asked to write a new hymn for the event, but instead he got up and read Jesus Savior Pilot Me, which was a well-known song by that time, giving himself away as the author. This hymn, over the years, has become very popular with young people, and knowing what God's will and purpose is in their life. It made me think of some of my own experiences. My first flying experience was probably 3 or 4 springs ago. My family and I were up in Maine visiting Wilmer, Charlie, and Hurst and their family. And that Saturday afternoon, down at the local airport, about the size of Thomasville, they had an aviation day for kids. They volunteer pilots would come in and take kids up in the plane, let them drive the plane, fly the plane for a little bit. And I had never flown before, didn't really want anything to do with it. And before I knew, I was climbing into a little 4-passenger plane with Isaac, the Wilmer's boy, and my brother and the pilot. And we were taking off flying towards the ocean. And it was cloudy that day. And once we reached the ocean, it was almost impossible to see where the sky and the land and the ocean met. And the pilot showed us a gauge in the cockpit there. It was called an altitude indicator, or an artificial horizon. And that's used to know where you line that up with that line on that artificial horizon up with the real horizon, and that keeps your altitude and everything intact where you're flying. It's mostly used on bad weather conditions and where visual references can't be made. This gauge is like to a pilot in a plane as the Bible is to us as Christians. You know, we can't always tell what lies ahead in our future, but with Jesus Christ and the Bible as our artificial horizon, we don't have no fear of where we're flying or where we're going to end up. I pray tonight that each one here, including myself, will let Jesus fly their plane here on this runway of life, and we'll be able to hear him say, as it says in the last part of that line of that beautiful hymn, "Fear not, I will pilot thee."
Amen. My brother of